So now we're going to begin with the real thing. So assuming you're ready to start dating, which was what we covered the previous classes, so then the next question is, well, how do you get a date? So assuming you've already decided what you want in life and what type of girl you're looking for, and assuming that number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on your list is not looks, if number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on your list is looks, so then you still got to prepare a little bit more before you start dating. But if number 1 is looks, and number 2 is personality, number 3 is that she likes kids, and number 4 is Torah observance, Yiras Shamayim, so okay, to each his own, you know. One of the things I always tell people when they call me for Shiduchim is I say, I'm not here to judge you, I'm here to understand you. Dating is not about theory. Dating is about who I am, not who I should be. Sometimes when I ask people questions like, what type of guy are you looking for, or can you tell me a little bit about yourself, they tell me, well, what's the right answer? And there is no right answer. I want to understand who you are. A good shadchan tries to match you with someone who matches you. And when you're describing yourself, and when you're describing what you're looking for to a shadchan, then you should be honest. Now, but just be weird. Some shadchanim, and especially shadchaniyot, will be very upset when you talk about looks. Oh, you airhead! Oh, you physical! You, what's wrong with you guys? Oh, you think about our looks? Don't you know? 5 years into marriage, 3 pregnancies later, nothing's left of that. That's what you care about. That's all you guys think about. What do they teach you in that yeshiva? You could get a whole bunch of lectures. At the end of the day, the Talmud tells us you're not allowed to marry a woman without seeing her, lest she not find favor in your eyes. And the Torah says, "Vavto recha kamocha." It's considered unkind to a woman to get married to her if you haven't seen her and you know that her looks are something which you like. You don't have to think she's the beauty queen. Every person has a different level that's enough for them. But a person has to feel comfortable and he has to feel that his collar looks nice. A person doesn't have to be blind. He doesn't have to say, well, I think she's the most gorgeous person in the world when she's missing 15 teeth and she has a wooden leg and she's, I mean, at the end of the day, a person knows who he's marrying for better or for worse.
That's what,
at the end of the day, I'll tell you something. The truth is that within a good relationship, as the relationship evolves, when you love the person,
you find them more attractive.
You find them more attractive, right. It's very common that people, when they're honest with you, will tell you, well, when I got married, I thought she looked fine, but as time went on, she got more and more beautiful. Now, is he kidding himself? He doesn't know that she got older, she's not as young, etc. But it doesn't matter. Beauty. What? Beauty. Beauty is not just a factor of looks, and quite the contrary. A person who has looks, but they don't have content, at the end of the day, it's not going to stick. It's not going to work. So you have to think. Can a blind person find someone beautiful?
Yeah, that's what's that?
Curb Your Enthusiasm. There was an episode where a blind guy got really mad that the person they set him up with was ugly. And the guy was like, "What do you care? You're blind. I don't want an ugly chick."
Okay. So I don't know, but let's stay focused with what we're dealing with. At the end of the day, I believe you should be honest. Make a list for yourself what's important to you. I once had a girl call. And I'm interviewing her, and every question I ask, she has all the answers ready. And I finished the interview, and I told her, look, I got to be honest with you. I've interviewed thousands of people. You're the first person that had all the answers ready. You knew exactly what you were looking for, what type of guy. You knew how to describe yourself. You knew how to describe your traits. I'm floored. So she said, I'll tell you the secret. I listened to your class online and you told me all the questions you asked. So I sat down and wrote them and I thought about them and then I wrote the answers. So by the time I called, I had them all ready. So, what? Well, let's think for a minute. Wait, no. So that's where I don't want to... I don't want to... again, I don't think there's a right and a wrong. A right and a wrong is the first class we had tonight. Pirkei Avot, character development. But we have to think for ourselves, and you guys can catch this class online because no one's taking notes. We have to think to ourselves, what's important to us in marriage? So Natan said, Yirat Shamayim. Is Yirat Shamayim really the point that's important to you? Is it really important to you that your kala is going to get very upset if you wake up late for minyan? Or you'll say, that's not Yirat Shamayim. So you say, yeah, that's important to you. You're a black belt. You can take her on. You're not worried. Okay. But you have to think. Like, for some people, I'll tell you the traits that I find are most important for guys, and guys don't enumerate them when you interview them. I think genteel is high up there. A gentle person. It's not only an issue of femininity. It's also an issue of a person who's not threatening. Some people want a wife who's going to run the show. One guy told me openly, he said, I want a wife who's going to be more knowledgeable than me in Torah, more observant than me. She'll pull me up. Okay, good for you. That's what you want. I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't remember who he got. But at the end of the day, for some people, that's what they need. Some people want a wife who's going to run the show. And that's fine. Again, there's no right and wrong. But again, so as far as traits, so you have to think, what's important to you? To some people, a sense of humor is very important. To some people, intelligence is very important. To some people, warmth is very important. To some people, kindness is very important. Now, you could sit down and make a list of traits and say, well, this is very important. You can't run a house without kindness. Well, warmth is critical. How could you come home to a house that's not warm? And you could sit down and explain why each of these traits is important. But that doesn't mean that's what's important to you. You have to think, what's important to me? And at the end of the day, you'll learn as you date. Now, dating within the Orthodox circles is a little different than what you're used to dating before you came here. We're not talking about sitting at a bar, seeing a girl that has a nice smile, and walking over and starting conversation or leaving her your number. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a situation where we're going to be set up by someone. As we ended last class, it's considered immodest to approach a girl directly, so we're supposed to do it through an intermediary. Part of it is the respect for the girl. Girls aren't just out there to be picked up. Girls that are picked up, we look down upon. We frown upon that. We say, if you're precious, if you're valuable, which every Jewish girl is, then you're not supposed to just be picked up off the street. That's not the way it works. There should...
What? What about the Benjamin thing? We'll deal with that. We'll
good question.
Have to dance in the...
Wait, if you want, we'll get back to that. The idea is that we cherish them, we value them, we honor them, and as such, we view a relationship or the development of a relationship as something that has to be set up. And you should know that a girl that comes from a good background, if she has a good family or if she has a good adoptive family that knows what they're doing, they will look into you before they let her go out with you. And that's a good sign. Unfortunately, a lot of girls, their families don't know what they're doing. And even though they're good girls, they don't look into the guys they're setting them up with. And even though they have good adoptive families, the adoptive families won't look into you. And that's a mistake. It's a big mistake. I say it goes both ways. Before you date, you should check out the guy, you should check out the girl. I don't need to get feedback like I've gotten about guys and about girls. I don't want to enumerate. But the sky is the limit. Or maybe I should say the depths are the limit as to the stories I get feedback on. They tell me she's a modest girl. She wasn't even Shomer Nagia. Wait a second. How'd you get set up with a girl like that? You wanted a girl Shomer Nagia and she wasn't. So what's going on here? They tell me he's a decent guy. And he was flirting with the waitress throughout the date. How'd you get set up with a guy like that? That date was my fault. I set her up. But I didn't know. I didn't know the guy. And I'm very honest. Most shadchanim aren't. I tell a guy and a girl if I don't know the guy or the girl. Like when I set you up, sometimes I'll say, I know them by phone, never met them. I can't tell you, you check them out. I'll set you up, but I'll tell you, I don't know them well. Here are the references, find out. In a second we'll discuss how you check them out. But, so step number one is, if a person is ready to date, you got to talk to Shadchanim and tell them a little bit about yourself and what you're looking for. And in your description of yourselves, you have to think what to include and what not to include. Some things are their business, some things are none of their business. If you have three kids in Jamaica, so you sort of should tell them, I think. I mean, if you guys are laughing. You know how many guys went through internet or shadchanim, and you're laughing. And then they date the girl. And they were told the girl's 28. Turns out the girl's 42. They were told the girl is single. Turns out the girl was divorced twice. No one told them that she has three kids waiting at home for her. True story, guy in Machon Meir. I could tell you a lot of horror stories. Guys being set up, they didn't bother checking out the girl, or girls being set up, and they didn't bother checking out the guys, and then they discovered all kinds of things. So save your time and save your efforts, and assume all shadchanim are liars. Yes, I go on record, all shadchanim, I say you have to assume are liars. I'm a shadchan too. And I always tell people, you have to assume right. I tell them, I am honest, but you can't know that I'm honest. So you have to assume I'm a liar too. You check everything everyone tells you out. It's your life we're talking about. We'll go off on a tangent a little bit. I was once dating a girl, and I told her, don't get offended, but I'm going to check you out a little bit more than I checked out until now. We had gone beyond date number 5. So I told her, you know, at this point, I think I'm going to have to look into you a little bit more. Don't get offended if you get feedback that I'm looking into you. So she said, why don't you tell me what questions you have, and I'll answer them. I said, well, I think it's my responsibility to check out beyond what you'll tell me. So she said, you don't trust me? I said, no. She said, how could you marry me if you don't trust me? I said, after I'll decide to marry a girl, then I'm going to give my whole life over into her hands, right? And then I'm going to trust her on everything. So before I trust the person on everything, I better check out that they're a person worth trusting. With time, I'll learn that I can trust you. I think you're probably honest, but an intelligent person checks things out before they give complete trust in someone else. You seem like a decent person. You seem like a fine person. That's why I'm continuing. That's why I think there's potential. And maybe one day we'll get married. We didn't. We did. I got married to someone else, and she got married to someone else. And Baruch Hashem. But at the end of the day, part of our responsibility is to be cautious. Was she offended by that? Yeah. Well, you never know with girls. She sat and thought for a minute and said, I guess that makes sense. But that doesn't mean anything. I can't know. No, with girls, you never know. Maybe she was offended, maybe she wasn't. I don't know. I told her also for her own sake. I said, you know, the truth is, I think you should check me out too. How do you know I'm not selling you a load of goods? I tell you my family is in America. Maybe I'm an Arab. What do you know? True story. A guy here in Israel dated a girl. They got engaged. They went to a certain mikvah, and I'm not a big believer in mikvah stories. You know me. There are too many floating around. I always say, what? A person who they say knows Kabbalah. So he went to this person for a blessing, and he comes in with the Kala, and then he said okay, and then he asked the Kala to leave the room for a minute, and he said to the guy, are you Jewish? And the guy said, yes, of course. So he said, so why are you engaged to an Arab girl? So he said, what do you mean? So he said, that's an Arab girl that just walked in with you, that's not a Jewish girl. So the guy said, what do you suggest I do? He said, go to your rabbis, find out what's going on. They checked it out. Turns out it was an Arab girl who came in as a spy. She went to a Baal Tshuva yeshiva. Wow. She was looking to marry Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva believed everything she said. She learned how to play the game, right? You show up to a Baal Tshuva yeshiva, no one asks you too many questions. And her whole point was to help with all kinds of suicide missions here in Israel as his wife. Now, she was going to play the game. They caught her. She's sitting in jail today. But that's that's an extreme story. I don't suspect that you're going to end up marrying a suicide bomber. But you know what? I don't believe all the stories, but to get a point across, I'm willing to quote a story. like Rabbi Wein says, all my stories are true. Some just didn't happen yet. at the end of the day, you have to know. You have to check out who you're dating, and I think it's irresponsible of a person to date without checking out. So how do you check out? Don't believe what the shadchan says. Step number one: don't believe what they posted about themselves if you're gonna do it all over the internet. Don't believe what her friends say yet. How do you check them out? So you have to make phone calls. Whoever's setting you up should give you references. And here we're going to go into tremendous detail. No one's going to give you like I will. I don't think so. I've never heard of anyone that explains it as well. And it's just from experience. I meet people who have been dating for 20 years and they don't know these tips. I'm telling you now something which has worked for a lot of people. I'm going to spell it out step by step. Step number one, get yourself a notebook. Okay? And in that notebook, go back to this class, third class on dating, and write down a form on the first page of what we're going to say now. Someone offers you a shidduch, you open a page on the notebook, you write down the date. Top right corner, you write the date. Why is that important? Well, I wish you guys to finish your dating experience very quickly. But I was dating for years. Sometimes I thought back to a girl I was set up with, and I had all the notes on her. And I see in the notes, she's 18. Now, did 2 years pass or did 7 years pass? Is she 20 or 25? Where is she holding now? I don't remember. So the first thing you do is you write the date. If you have the date, then later on you'll know when you were set up with her and how to modify things, and sometimes that could be critical. Maybe we'll get to the discussion of why later. So you write the date. Next you write who offered you the shidduch, who set you up with her, so that you know who to go back to. Meaning sometimes someone will set you up, and 3 years later you'll think back and say, gee, I was once told about a girl like this and this and this, and I thought it wasn't for me, but now I realize maybe it is for me. Who wanted to set me up with that girl? You don't remember. Mm-hmm. I could tell you I had that because I'm still setting up girls who I was set up with. Meaning 10 years ago they tried setting me up with a girl. Now I just meet a guy who I say to myself, gee, he'd be great for that girl. I go back to my notes. I have the description of the girl. I don't have the description of who wanted to set me up with her. I can't set her up. It's a pity. Why not? It's a pity that girls are still single 10 years later, but it's a fact of life. So you write down who wanted to set you up, and you write down the girl's name. You also write down his relationship to the girl. How do you know her? How long have you known her for? You might say, my wife knows her. You might say, we just met her this past Shabbos. She ate a meal by us. Gives you perspective on how accurate his information is going to be. Right? Okay. Next, his description. You write down his whole description. After he finishes his description, you ask yourself, do I have a picture of the person's personality? Do I have a picture of the person's history? One of the things you should ask them is about the family. Do you know what her siblings do? Do you know if she has siblings? Do you know what her parents do? You want to know. We had a guy. One brother was a drug addict in prison. The sister was, what's a nice way of saying it? You could imagine. And the parents were in and out of insane asylums. Now, I go to set this guy up. Don't you think a girl's entitled to know where he's coming from? It turns out he flipped out at some point in his stay in Machon Meir. He literally went cuckoo. Well, you could have forecasted that when you realized that he has a certain history. It's important to know where a person's coming from. You want to know. People will try to keep information a little bit hidden from you, but you could usually find things out very quickly. So you want to find out as much as you can about where the person's coming from. You want to know what kind of Shabbos meal they've seen, what kind of home they're coming from, how long they've been religious for, if they're a Baal Teshuva, and where they've studied. Now, then ask for references. Who knows the person? If they give you rabbis or teachers, I have to tell you guys, don't believe them. I always say, don't trust rabbis. When people call me for references about you guys, I always begin the conversation. I'll tell you a lot of good things about the person. I know the person, I admire the person, and I think the person's a fine person, if I could say that about the person, I do. And I say, but let me tell you what I say about every guy. When people call me to check out a guy, I always say, don't trust rabbis. I'll tell you as best as I can, but how well can I know a person? You guys in front of me, you're not killing one another, you're not cursing, what do I know? Sitting here, everyone behaves nicely. Do I know what's going on in the dorm room? Do I know what's going on when I'm not here? So I'm not stupid. I don't need to know. But I've seen instances where rabbis gave glowing reports and they just didn't know what the guy was doing when they didn't see him. So I always say the secret to good information is the roommate. The roommate is going to know. Whether hotel or not is another question. Mm-hmm. But the roommate knows. And you have to read between the lines.
That's totally true.
I agree. Okay. Like Mark Twain said, nothing is necessarily true, including this sentence. What?
You have a lot of battles especially in a dorm room where there are eight people in a small place, and you're not seeing a real person. That's not how they would really act in a normal setting.
Okay, I hear. I hear. But it gives you perspective. It'll give you perspective that no one else will give you.
But it might be bad, it might be bad perspective. Just like the rabbi is abnormally good, this could be abnormally bad.
Could be. But if when they give you references, you should always ask for other people. Wait, okay. I'll get to that. Now, usually, if a person's intelligent, they give references who are good friends, who will say good things. Now, word to the wise. If you see that you're being set up with a few girls and they all refuse you, so have a friend call and ask your references as if they're a girl checking you out. Because sometimes your references mean to say something good, but they're saying really bad. I once had a guy who, they set him up with a girl who was here in Israel alone, a relative of mine. So she asked me to check the guy out. So I call up the guy's friends, and one friend says, he's really not bad. I say, well, what could he tell me about him? He's really not a bad guy. And what else could he tell me about him? He's not too mean. I said, okay, this guy's off the wall. It's not his fault. He has a friend who's off the wall. Let's call the next friend. I call the next friend, same type of lines. After two friends like that, I called this girl up. I said, look, I've checked out thousands of guys. I've never had responses like this. I'd stay away. Something's off here. If and only because he has bad taste in friends. I don't know, but poor guy. This is what his friends were saying about him. I was once set up with a girl, and when I called to check out the girl, so one of the things the people told me is, I don't think there are terrible issues between the parents. I don't think she grew up in a home that was too bad. Oh, that's an interesting thing to say about a girl. Okay. So if you see after two or three times that they're setting you up and they're not saying, and for some reason the girl's saying no, pay to check out what your references are saying about you. Don't tell them. Have someone call up as though they're checking you out and find out. I've seen this happen, and sometimes people get stuck for a few years until they realize what's happening. Yeah.
What if you come from a broken home and stuff like that? Is there other things you should be hiding from somebody? Or
so I wouldn't hide that. You'll be happy to hear that here in Israel, in the Tilumi world, and certainly in the Chozer B'Tshuvah world, that's not even a strike against you. It should be, but it isn't. Meaning, if you guys have a choice, a girl who comes from a broken home or a non-broken home, hands down, go with the one from a non-broken home. It's an asset. Now, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go out with a girl from a broken home. If you have that option, it's better. If the parents are separate, if the parents are divorced, if you have an option of a girl who comes from a home that's not broken, you've gained. Now, that's just a plus. That doesn't mean that like covers the whole picture. If your children can have that picture as their grandparents, and if your wife grew up with a home where her perspective on marriage is, no matter what, you don't get divorced, that's an asset to your marriage. It's a huge asset. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, that's worth an 8. I mean, it doesn't cover the whole picture. You got to figure out, does this girl match for me? But if this girl has this point to her favor, and the other girl has other points to her favor, you have to realize that this is a big point. This is a big plus.
I was speaking to someone just today. They said that one of the requirements for a girl for him is she gets along with her parents. Is that a fair requirement?
It's a tough call. Go figure. You're going to figure out before you married her what her fights with her mother means. Every girl has fights with her mother.
Not fights. They don't talk.
It's a tough call. I wouldn't say that hands down. Hey, it's a plus. It's nice if they talk. But go figure that. I agree with you that it's not the ideal. But I...
So it's not a broken home. But yet they don't communicate. She hates them.
Look, again, it's not a plus. It's not
an
ideal.
Wouldn't it be a plus to not have to deal with your mother-in-law?
I'm contemplating. I want to answer you honestly, but I'm scared you're going to think I'm answering you honestly because it's being recorded. I'll answer you honestly, and we'll ignore the fact that it's being recorded. A mother-in-law is a big blessing. You should know. You shouldn't live too close to them. But if you could have decent in-laws, it's one of the biggest blessings you could have. When David HaMelech is talking to... No, my contemplation was whether you'd believe me that I'm talking honestly. My mother-in-law doesn't listen to this. I wish she'd hear it, because I mean it. It's one of the biggest blessings you could have is a pair of in-laws which you feel comfortable with, whose counsel you could take, there's always going to be issues where people overstep their boundaries a little bit. You'll step on their toes a little bit, they'll step on your toes a little bit. You'll have your months where you love them more, they'll have their months where they love you more. Part of life, it's par for the course. But at the end of the day, having in-laws who you could talk to, you speak the same language, it's a tremendous asset. It's an asset. It's someone who you could have your children look up to. It's someone who you could speak positively about in your home, and you should speak positively about if only you could. I mean, I know one guy who's his father is still running around with a different girl every week. What's he going to tell his kids? They invite his father to the Seder, and every year he's coming with a different girl. And they're not Shomer Nagia at the Seder. And she's not coming with a hair covering, to say the least. What's he supposed to tell his kids when his parents come to the Seder like that, his father?
Should he tell his father not to come?
We had a whole class discussing this. On the other hand, you have another guy whose in-laws are fine, and they're not too learned, but they keep Torah and mitzvahs, and he could send his kids there for Shabbos. He doesn't have to worry about the fact they're going to have the TV on over Shabbos. You know what an asset that is? You know, it's a different life. If you don't have it with your own parents, at least if you could get it with your in-laws, and that's a point which we're going to have to deal with B'zach HaMadr either next week or the following week, the question of balas tshuva or not. What should you be looking for? What's better? But now, this week we started our description of how you check out a girl. We'll get to that. I'm just saying, you have to realize that in-laws, with all their issues, with all the baggage, and some in-laws have more and some have less. I understand, but I want you to know, at the end of the day, if you can have in-laws that you get along with, is one of the biggest blessings you could have in life. It's just after having good parents. Good parents is maybe one of the biggest blessings, and in-laws is a notch or two below that.
Does that bring on another issue of, let's say, especially if you're Baal Tshuva, you come from a home where they don't keep the Torah mitzvot, so now, you know, would your parents get jealous?
Saying, let's discuss that things in the future. Jealousy between in-laws is something we'll discuss way down the road in the Binyan HaBayit. It'll be next year already. But I want to let guys go. Really, you guys probably have other things they want to do tonight. Chodesh Tov to everyone.